Colossians 2:15. I'm going to read you two scriptures to go with that song we were singing. But he said, so you're dealing with a defeated, you may sit down, a defeated enemy, and you enforce the victory. You resist the devil, and he'll flee. Amen? Because this is your enemy. He's been disarmed. He's been made a bold display of. He's been made a public example of. And he's been triumphed over in the cross. And then Hebrews 2:14 says, and he's been brought to nothing. Amen? So that's the enemy we're dealing with. And he's waiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. So all we have to do is enforce that. How do you enforce it? You walk in just knowing who you are. Say no to the devil. And telling him to get out in the name of Jesus. That name that is above every name. That's why we're given that name, to use it. Amen. And then I felt like the Lord said, there were people here, even though we were singing that song, we're thinking, well, but I have so messed up in my life. I have so failed. Let me read you this scripture. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, God's merited favor, that we may receive mercy for our failures. So don't make a difference if you failed. It's already been taken care of on the cross. Just like Jesus already defeated the devil at the cross, he's done away with all your failures at the cross too. So therefore you stand before him as the glorious church. Not going to be, that's who you are. Clean, holy, and righteous. That's who you are. You couldn't get any better than that, guys. You couldn't. He was made sin, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm as good as it gets. Now, hopefully y'all realize y'all are too. We're as good as it gets because Jesus is as good as it gets, and that's whose we are. Amen? So we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time, for every need, appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we need it. Amen. Isn't that good? So no matter where you're at, your help is here. Appropriate help, just when you need it. I love that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to start teaching on root of bitterness. And, you know, again, according to that song, you know, we began to take back what the enemy stole from us. And so we need to take our lives back. We need to take the areas of our life back where basically the best way to put it is the devil's raped you. He has literally ravaged people and raped them in certain areas of their lives. And it's time we take it back because we've let him a lot of times not purposefully and not intentionally, but we've let him deposit things in our lives that aren't good. And those things that he has deposited in our lives were deposited to hinder you in your walk with God, to hinder you in taking it back, to hinder you in being who God called you to be. So we're going to go over some of the things. We're going to be doing this over the next weeks, but on how you can begin to take back. And so we're going to be talking about the root of bitterness. But as I was studying that, I found some other stuff that I wanted, that I thought would help with this. But I would recommend a book for you to read, and it's called A More Excellent Way by Henry Wright, which goes into, I'm going to use some of his material today or some of his comments, but they go into the roots of disease. But roots of disease are nothing more than what I just said earlier, where the enemy has deposited things in your life. Those things that have been deposited are the roots. So we're going to get rid of those, and then they'll stop hindering you from receiving what God has for you. And they'll help you get your eyes off of yourself, where you're always judging yourself and always finding yourself never measuring up or not quite worthy of, you see. And you've been made worthy. It's not about what you think. It's about what Jesus did on the cross, and he made you worthy. So you might as well just accept it. You might as well just accept it. You can't change it. He made you worthy because it's about him, not about us, not about your mistakes, but about his success. And he was successful on the cross. He was successful in doing away with all your failures, all your mistakes, all your sins, all your iniquities. He did away with all of them. He blotted it out. And I don't have any clean paper today, but I always like to take a notebook and open it when there's nothing on it and say, this is my book. When he opens my book, it's clean because I'm under the blood. Everything is blotted away. You couldn't get any better than that, could you? You see? So just accept it. Just accept it and then begin to operate from that. So I'm going to go into a lot of things. I'm hoping this will provoke you to think about some things and provoke you to move out and deal with some of these things. And some of the quotes I'm going to take, I just felt like I should start with this. But this is talking about dealing with forgiveness and how you deal with people who have in the past severely wronged you. Because a lot of times we will go where, you know, you say, well, I've tried to forgive them, but I can't. I've tried to forgive myself, but I can't. Forgiveness is nothing more than a choice of your will. That's all it is. Just like when you came to Christ by a choice of your will, you surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you became the righteousness of God. When I forgive someone, it's a choice of my will. Not an emotion, not a feeling, because you know what? Your salvation is not based on your feelings, and neither is it when you forgive someone based on your feeling. It's a decision of your will. So any of us can do that. You know, I recently listened to a young man talking from the Sandy, what was that called? That school? Sandy what? Sandy Hook. Yeah, I was going to call it something else. The school there where all these children were killed, and they had a young man on something. I don't know what it was, but I happened to be watching something on TV. I don't remember what show I happened to look at, but it was, they had a young man who he came out of the Columbine shooting, and his sister, he was a little boy when it happened, and his sister had been one of the young women that was murdered at the Columbine. And he talked about for years and years and years the bondage that he was in and the sicknesses and all the different things he dealt with because he couldn't forgive the two young men that killed his sister. And he said, finally, I had to forgive because I couldn't be free. You see? So when we hold things, we're not free. And yet Jesus has made it as easy to forgive someone as it is he's made it easy for you to come to the cross and receive his forgiveness. It is a choice of your will. Now today, and probably next week I'll be teaching this too because I don't think I'm going to get done today. But what I want you to do is make a note that I am going to freely forgive by a choice of my will. And I would even write down the names of the persons that you need to forgive. Now I don't think there's probably anything worse than murder. But I would guarantee you, probably a lot of you have had some of the worst things next to that happen to you in your life. I know we've had some horrific things. And you know what? You don't even sometimes want to forgive them. You'd rather they suffered. You'd rather they paid for what they did. But that's not acceptable in the gospel. We don't have an option. We have to forgive. Therefore, Jesus said, you can release them. It's nothing more than a choice of your will. So I'm going to lead you through some prayers. But when you do that, then I want you to understand once you do it, you don't have to keep going back and doing it. It's done. Just like you don't have to keep going back and asking Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. It's done when you did it. You see, well, it's the same thing. You're going to forgive, you're going to let go, and you're going to start moving forward in your life so that you can begin to shake off all this stuff that the enemy has tried to weigh you down with. You know, it talks about in Hebrews that we are running this race and we lay aside every weight and every sin that so heavily weighs us down. Okay, well, these are weights that want to weigh you down, to slow you down in your run, in your walk with Christ, in your pursuing God, in your reaching out and taking hold of all that Jesus Christ has provided on the cross. And there's nothing that we don't have already had provision of, okay? But I'm going to read you this thing out of Henry Wright's, and he's talking about even how to correct a wrong when the person is dead. Say it's somebody that violated you somehow, some way, you know. It don't make a difference. And I thought this would help you. If you have something from your past and it is not possible for you to make it right with the person, and that might even be someone who is still alive, but there is no way for you to go to them. They might be in another place, or it might be something that right now you can't address with that person. So you have to let it sit, okay? But this is what you do. Okay, you might have something from your past and it's not possible for you to make it right with the person, then you make it right with God, and it's taken care of. You make what was done to you right with God, and then it's taken care of. You do not have to carry the guilt of it any longer. Now, the reason I'm going through this is because I know that specifically this is going to reach out and minister to certain people here today. If someone is holding a sin against you, it's their problem, not yours. They have to get it right before God, just like you do. Whether they do or they don't really doesn't have anything to do with you, because you are standing alone before God in the integrity of your heart. Okay? So this isn't about, I mean, you might be in a position because of some violation or woundedness or betrayal or abandonment or abuse. But irregardless, you're going to stand there with that between you and God. You can't drag this other person in. So they're going to have to deal with it on their own. But we want to make sure you get it right. You need to stay in freedom and not in guilt. Guilt is, Jesus took all the guilt for everything that was ever done to you or that you may have done yourself. There may be something in your life, such as a breach with someone, and they won't even talk to you. They might not even care. I mean, they could care less. You know, I know people who have wounded other people, and then they turn around, sit and lie about it and say, oh, I never did that. You're making it up. Sure. You know, but they don't care. They don't want to make peace with you at all. Your ability to be free of that situation does not mean that you have to resolve that situation with that person personally. You can come before God. He will work with your heart, but you don't have to have it resolved with anyone in order to be free. Isn't that good news? Because I'm talking about situations that you can't go back and change. All right. Now, there may be some things, because we want to throw out some balance, where you may need to go to someone and say, you know what, I wronged you and I repent. Or you may have been wronged and they won't acknowledge it, but you may need to go say, Kate, you know what? I'm going to release you. I'm going to forgive you for that. And then the ball's in their park. All right. But there are certain things that you cannot go back and change. So you quit letting them hold you. You make it right between you and God. Okay. That's why, well, I'll get into this a little bit later, but if there's been a wrong done to you, you can repent for that sin, even if it wasn't your fault, to set yourself free. Okay, so you have to have it resolved with the Lord. Your heart has to make the paradigm shift concerning this issue. If you've been victimized, and there's a lot of different ways of being victimized. You can be victimized through betrayal in a marriage. You can be victimized through verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse, betrayal, abandonment as a child. There's all different ways of being victimized. But you do not have to resolve one issue with somebody that's victimized you in order for God to heal you of that. You see, it's time we decide, I'm going to get healed. You know, quit babysitting this wrong that was done to you. Quit putting, you know, I've got a book at home. It's really a cute little book. It's a kid's book, but it's called Don't Nurse a Grudge. And this little kid is holding a grudge, and he's got a baby bottle, and he's nursing the grudge. And as he nurses it throughout the years, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It starts out in his arms just like a little baby. As he goes through life, all of a sudden he's weighed down, and this big demonic-looking thing is hanging over, and he's just hardly able to stand up because he's been nursing this. You see? He's been babysitting it. taking care of it, protecting it. You see, it's time you quit doing that. Because that thing, the more you take it, the more you keep it, the more you feed it, the more you dwell on it, you're just going to allow it to get bigger and bigger and bigger in your life. So it's time to get rid of it. It's time to shake it off. No more chains holding me. From now on, I am free. You see, we sing a lot of good songs, but we got to go past singing them to doing them. Okay? Okay, so that has nothing to do with all of that for you to be healed, providing that you have resolved that issue between you and God concerning them. And you know, a lot of times you just need to make a decision by faith. I'm going to walk in this and I'm going to receive this. You know, one time I was sick. This is years and years ago. And I didn't even know the healing message at that point. I do now, but I had some kind of a cold congestion thing. And 3 weeks later, I still have it. And I still can't hardly breathe. And I'm praying and blah, 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 and all that. Finally, one day while I'm laying on my bed thinking about, I can't hardly breathe, God. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get up and be healed. And I got up. I decided, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm healed. And I got up and I was healed. It stopped just like that. It was me coming to the place where I said, you know what? I've had enough. And that was just a physical healing. But that's in every single area. You know, if you're depressed, if you're wounded, if you're, if you've been abused, if you've been walked out on, you know what? Get over it. Do not let what that person has done to you control, manipulate, and dictate to you the rest of your life. Amen? You know what? If you want to get angry at anybody, get angry at the devil and just say, no more. I will not allow this situation to control my life anymore. And you get up and shake it off. And if it comes knocking at your door again, you say, no, I'm not taking you back. I am not taking you back. You know, we need to speak to things. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you can speak death to these things. You can say, no, I am not. This is not my identity. This is not what I chose for my life. And I'm not accepting this anymore. I'm only accepting the fact that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that my identity is in Christ, and that I am healed, and that I am whole, and that I am delivered. You know, start responding back to that thing. Quit nursing it. Quit babysitting it. Shake it off. This guy here also says that self-pity is the sticky glue of hell. Anytime that we keep nursing these things out of self-pity, and that's what we do them out of, we're just letting that thing stick to us and stick. And do you ever know how, do you ever try to do something with sticky glue and you get it on your fingers and they are stuck together? You see, you got to do some work to get that off, don't you? You see, but you can. You know, you can put some butter or some oil or some water, or you can just, and it, you know, but you can. You can get rid of it. So that's what you need to do. All right, let me keep on reading this to you. If you are waiting for resolution between them and you before you can be free, you've bought the biggest lie that you've ever bought. That would be tying you back to the tragedy, back to the victimization, and back to the breakdown. Isn't that a good thought? You know, and I know that this speaks heaps to some people. Because it's time we get free. And when I'm talking about a violation here, but anything, almost, you know, although anytime we do have unforgiveness towards someone, it's because there has been an offense. And an offense is normally something how, whether it's a correct offense or not, it's someplace where we, in our own understanding, feel like we've been victimized. Okay? So, irregardless, wherever this is fitting, you still need to deal with it. Okay, whether it, like I said, it's even a betrayal of a spouse or whatever, or an abuse of a spouse, or, you know, however it fits in. You know, I think one of the most horrific things in dealing with deliverance, we deal with this all the time, is abuse. And usually it starts with children. And that's probably one of the hardest things to have to deal with. It's probably It's just bad. But you don't have to stay there. So you got to choose to come up out of that. You stand alone before God, and alone shall you be in your salvation, in your healing, and in your deliverance, and in your judgment. All of us shall stand before God one day, and we cannot take a bunch of people with us and say, well, they made me do it, or it's all their fault that I couldn't do it. I couldn't forgive. You're going to stand alone with that. Okay. Now, we had a situation done a few years ago, and, you know, someone said to me here recently, you know, they had a similar situation, and they said, I don't like that person, and I don't even wish them well. And I thought, you know, I don't wish this person well either. So then I kind of had backtracked a little bit, and I thought, well, have I really forgiven them? Yeah, I have, because I forgave by faith. I forgave by a choice of my will. Okay, and then you have to drop it, because the devil is always wanting you to try to pick it back up and take it back. Okay, and we are just not going to do it. Okay, and that means whether it's been your father, your mother, grandparent, some of the very closest people to you, and especially when it comes to sexual abuse, most cases of sexual abuse are done by family members. That's basically where it is. So the person that maybe a child trusted is the person that did this to them. And so sometimes it feels like they get stuck in a dilemma. Well, I have to honor them, but I hate them. But you know what? You can forgive, and that doesn't mean you have to participate anymore. See, I truly do not believe that if a person will not resolve their issues, I don't have to continue to open myself up to their issues. My responsibility is to forgive. That's it. Let them go. Let them go. All right? Because that will be huge for you, but it will also be huge for that person also, for God to step in there. You know, if you've got them all locked up, how's God going to do it? Help try to get them to a place of repentance. And you know what? They should come to you, but they may never. Again, you know, all right? I should have probably gave this to Tim to put it up. I'll try to remember next week. But it's a picture of a man in a prison, behind prison bars, and he has his head down. And I used to have this at Christian Life, and I would ask the kids, what's it saying to you? And they would come up with all different things. But it simply goes out of the scripture in Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And I'm just going to read that to you. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to that. We're just going to do this today like it's an absolute Bible study. I'm going to just teach you today. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. It says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a human king who wished to settle accounts with his attendants. When he began the accounting, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, probably about 10 million. And because he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children and everything that he possessed, and payment was to be made. So the attendant fell on his face, on his knees, and begged him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And the master's heart was moved with compassion, and he released him and forgave him, canceling the debt. But that same attendant, as he went out, found one of his fellow attendants who owed him 100 denarii, about $20. And he caught him by the throat and said, pay what you owe. So his fellow attendant fell down, and he begged him also, give me time and I will pay you all. But he was unwilling. And he went out, and he had him put in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow attendants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told everything that had taken place to their master. Then his master called him and said to him, you contemptible and wicked attendant, I forgave and canceled all the great debt of yours because you begged me to. And should you not have had pity and mercy on your fellow attendant as I had pity and mercy on you? In wrath, his master turned him over to the torturers, the jailers, till he should pay all that he owed. And it's interesting because he was turned over to the torturers. See, if we don't forgive, then we open ourselves up to the torturers. You know, you open yourself up to the constant pressures of the enemy of guilt and bondage and all this replay and all this failure mentality and all this depression and self-pity. And you know what? They torture you. They torment you. Okay? So God is saying here, God has forgiven us such a great debt, which was more likened to 10 million, and it was way beyond that. But, you know, and then our brother who owes us, our person owes us $20, and we aren't willing to forgive them. And you know what? It could be a believer, it could be a non-believer, you know? But we look at them and said, you don't deserve to be forgiven, but you thought you did. You see? And it's all you have to do is be obedient. We ministered one time to a young man who he was having some major issues with an employer. And we kept saying to him, well, you need to forgive. Do you know, by the way, too, unforgiveness and bitterness is the number one biggest hindrance in the arena of deliverance. If you come to me and want to get delivered, but you won't forgive someone, I don't know how we're going to get you free, because you're choosing to embrace this bondage. Okay. But anyway, we had a person come to us one time who, he had these big issues with his employer, and we kept saying, okay, just forgive him by faith, by choice of your will. We kept trying to take him over that, and just by choice of your will, forgive him. He said, no, I can't. And I won't. I can't. So we go around the block with him again, did the same thing. He goes, I can't do this. Okay. Then we finally said to him, the Lord said, ask him if he can forgive him out of obedience to me. So I said, well, would you forgive him out of obedience in being obedient to the Lord? And he goes, oh, yeah, I could do that. So if you can't do it by choice of your will, just do it out of obedience, okay? It'll work for you. And he did, and he was released. I recently ministered to someone whose son was murdered on the street a number of years ago. And they came to me, and they were not saved, but they were in such... They were tormented like these. They were in this prison right here where they were day and night. And so when I ministered to her, it was a mom. And you know, we can understand that. But we still have to take the right steps to come out. So she came, and we began to share with her and talk with her. And first letter to Jesus, she gave her life to the Lord. And then I said, now, will you forgive that man? And she said, no, I won't. I can't. And we went round the block and round the block and round the block. And no, I can't. I just can't do it. I won't. So I began to pray. And I endeavored to break down. Sometimes when a person absolutely cannot forgive because they are so bound by a spirit of unforgiveness, you may need to command that spirit of unforgiveness to go. All right? To get them free. Now, I'm not contradicting what I just said about you're not going to get free if you don't forgive people, okay? Because we can get you to a degree of freedom, but you won't completely get free if you won't start dealing with the issues in your life and in your heart, you see? So, irregardless of where you're at, when we start walking people through deliverance, especially if we do the one-on-ones, but we do that corporately too, you're going to be faced with these issues here that you have to choose to let go, because those are the legal rights, okay? But we did pray, commanded the, at least we got the strength of that thing off of her. And finally, as we commanded the spirits of hatred and unforgiveness and bitterness to leave her, and then I told her, I said, I'm going to unlock the prison that you're in, and we're going to take you out of this captivity. And she came out, and she said, oh my goodness, she said, it's like all this has lifted off of me. Isn't that something? I mean, you taking the death of a child, especially murdered. I mean, it's one thing if it's an accident, which is not easy, but to have your child murdered and to carry that for 8 years, and literally that night she let it go. Isn't that awesome? But for 8 years, she was weighed under that. Now, you might not be dealing with something that big, but it doesn't make a difference. Your little sins, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, isn't it? You see, so we want to make sure we deal with every issue in our lives where we are holding unforgiveness against people. And then another area that I want to tell you so that you understand this, when you're dealing with unforgiveness, and say something was done to you like 10 years ago, and so you've finally moved on, you've finally forgiven them, but in that process of time, You hated that person. You were bitter towards that person. You were angry and you carried it. Okay? Even though now you've come this far and forgive them, which is hallelujah, you still better back up and remove the spirit of bitterness that came in. You see, because you embraced that. And what you don't understand is when we embrace hatred and bitterness, and I'll get into that a little bit more as we go, anger against someone, and we continue to feed that, we open up a door for a spiritual force to come into our lives of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. So finally, you know, time is a healer. So you kind of move on and you begin to be a little more healed and you resolve that. But still there's that hindrance back there. There's that strategic setup of the enemy and it sits there and it waits to work against you. And this book I was telling you about, Henry Wright's book on, what did I just say the name of it was? A More Excellent Way. He talks about some of those different areas like that. But see, he goes into the fact that the roots of disease. And so maybe you're dealing with a disease today. Where did that disease get a legal right to come in? Let's back up to this place here. Maybe 10 years ago, and there was that root of bitterness that was never dealt with and removed. And we know medically now, today, that there's roots behind diseases. That's a proven fact. Fear, anger. Anger affects your blood pressure, your heart. Roots of bitterness affects your joints, causes cancer, you know, because it begins to break down. These things work against you to break down your immune system. And our immune system, all that stress, all that you carry works against your immune system. And then when it works against your immune system, then all of a sudden you don't have what you need to ward off these diseases. See, it isn't all about just what you eat as far as physical food. It's what you're eating spiritually too, you see. So you better quit eating anger and bitterness and hatred. You better quit feeding that, you see, because it's going to have an end result in your life. That's why you have to choose to let go for your sake as much as the other person, okay? All right, so I'm going to talk about a few different things that I think will help you, and then we're going to go into the section of roots of bitterness. But I'm going to give you some tools that are going to help you move from point to point towards your freedom, because a lot of times freedom is progressive in your life, all right? Now, the reason it becomes progressive and deliverance becomes progressive is because it's like God's having to wait on you to deal with your various issues. See, everything we come and we're willing to release, God can get it out. Okay? Because that enemy already is defeated. But sometimes a person has to learn how to resolve, and you can like, okay, say you resolve what's been done to you, so you move ahead with this part of it. But then there might be another area in your life that comes up. But because this other one was dealt with, this is going to be easier for you to get out. You see? So it becomes progressive. And then once they're removed, it's like you can begin to start thinking. You can begin to like get correct reasoning and understanding, proper deductibility within your mind. Like, all right, I see this. And this is what I opened the door up to, or this is what's operating in my life. And so you can realize it, that there are possibly some things that opened the door, and you can easily get that door closed and get that thing removed out of your life. Deliverance is easy. It's not hard, because we're always dealing with a defeated enemy. It's just you recognizing that enemy and owning your responsibility in this thing to get rid of it. Okay? That's it. Because Jesus has truly already defeated the enemy. So number one thing you need to do is you need to recognize. That's the first step towards freedom that will come, as you recognize the connection between your thoughts and the bondage that's in your life. Okay, the things that have brought this about. The discerning of good and evil is necessary in our lives for recognizing sin. A lot of times we work so hard trying to get the kingdom of God into people, and we spend no time getting the kingdom of darkness out. And this is what I saw before I got into deliverance. It would be like, you know, when I got saved, I wanted so much of God. I just wanted God. God, God, God. I wanted the Holy Spirit. I wanted everything God had. And it would be like I would go so far and I'd hit this wall. And I would go so far and I'd hit this wall. And I've always been an aggressive believer. Ever since I found Jesus, I've been aggressive with that. But I'd go so far and I'd hit a wall. But we never had any deliverance. None at all. So therefore, because we were always trying to shove the kingdom of God in, but never removing the kingdom of darkness, these forces, it would be like you couldn't get it. You just couldn't get the revelation of all that God was saying. And so then once you begin to get free, it was like understanding came to you because those hindering forces were gone. You see, so you'll find out the more you get delivered, the more free you're going to become to receive all that God has. And you're even going to get more of an understanding of it, especially like, you know, here you come and you want to be healed and yet you feel like you're worthless. There's no worth to you as a person. You walk in rejection. Well, those are spiritual forces that until you get them out of your life, you're not going to be able to receive. And I really believe that's, in fact, we deal with that a lot of times. People that we go minister to, the guilt and the condemnation they live under and the unworthiness. And you've got to get that out of your thinking. It's not about you. It's about, like I said earlier, Jesus became sin for us. But see, when all this garbage is in our lives and we don't remove it, and see, you have a responsibility as a believer to be willing to examine the areas of your life and deal with them so you can get free of them, so you can begin to receive all that God has for you. It's kind of like Kenneth Copeland tells a story of one time he saw this big, huge pipe coming down from heaven to him, and it was connected from him and God. And all this overflow of blessing was like a big flood was going in to this pipe. And when it would get to him, it would just go drip, drip, drip. And he'd wonder, God, why am I not getting more? And God says, because of all the junk you've got in your pipe. You see, we have all these things in our lives that we're trying to get the kingdom of God in, but we've got all this junk, all the kingdom of darkness. You know, we've got the hatred, the bitterness, the rejection, the unworthiness, the anger, the insecurities, the depression, the self-pity, you know, and we need to start getting those things out. And there's a lot more than that. The fear, the intimidation, you know. And so when we pull those out, we're able to get more and more and more of that flow of God into our lives. And see, so we need to get delivered and we need to change our belief systems. We need to find out in which to change your belief systems apart from deliverance is pretty hard. You see, because you've got junk in you, programming you. But once that is out, you can begin to like come to and listen to the healing message and like get revelation of like, that belongs to me. You know, there's certain things that the devil does not want to bring at all to me because I just know I don't have to take it. You see? See, but we need that in every arena of our lives. Okay, so you need to learn to discern good and evil. And then you need to work on removing all of that, all that's connected from your past. And we carry a lot of things. We carry things from our generations. We carry belief systems from the way that we were raised, okay? So we need to get our minds renewed. We need to get free, and we need to get moving forward in that. And, Isaiah 5:13, it says, for lack of knowledge, my people have gone into captivity. So because of not knowing and not understanding these various things, that they are spiritual forces. You know, I say this a lot, but there's so many new people here. I used to think because I got delivered of a lot of rejection. So I used to think the way I interpreted things, felt things, was just my personality. It was just the way I was. Not understanding that rejection is a demonic spirit. And actually, it's one of the worst ones I think there is. And because it always keeps you operating at a half mass, half level, where you can never measure up to what you feel God has for you or other people, okay? You're always judging yourself by almost like a voice that tells you what other people are thinking of you. And it brings you into a place of performance, okay? But so that's a lack of knowledge. So when I met someone and they came against the spirit of rejection in me and I got free from it, it was like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was a spirit. And then all of a sudden, everything in my life began to change. I began to think about myself differently. I began to, it was so weird because, I mean, even walking down a hallway, I felt different. I didn't feel like, oh, everybody's probably watching me and thinking, oh, there's that extreme believer. That one that always, she just goes overboard with everything, you know? That, you know, I'm always a little bit off, and I'm not off. Just, I'll tell you that, okay, so y'all know that. But you know what? I began to have a different view of myself, not realizing that the view I had of myself before that was being dictated to me by a demonic spirit called rejection. You see, totally will change your identity when you start getting free, because the enemy wants you to identify with his junk. Jesus wants you to identify with him. Big difference. Okay, so Isaiah 5:13 says, for lack of knowledge, my people have gone into captivity. Sin or bitterness will hold you captive through all sorts of different types of things. You can have fears and addictions, diseases, anxiety, depression, all of that. God wants you to be able to recognize these roots so that you will not go into captivity, or that you will at least begin to start coming out of that captivity. And I pray that as we go through this, that even God will begin to reveal areas of captivity to you in your life so you can begin to start being free. Because recognizing it is huge. It's huge. Okay? If I got dirt on my face but I can't see it, I'm not going to wash it off. But when I see it, I'll get rid of it. All right. So when we begin to recognize, we can begin to take the authority of the Word of God. And this book has all that we need in it to get ourselves cleansed. Right. Because it's already been positionally given to us. So we must recognize that the problem and that the enemy in our life, number one, is not from God. And also that he doesn't just take the problem away from us. We have the responsibility. And the number one reason that we take the responsibility, and or in other words, that we own what we see, is that it does not just affect us, but it will begin to affect all of your children, everything. What you keep, you are going to give to your generations. Think about that. And that is in every area of whether it's sexual sin. Pastor Evelyn has to go to a dinner. It's going to either take you and you're going to give your kids rejection. My father was a man that had a lot of bitterness and a lot of rejection in his life. Those were the two major things that I had to deal with in my life, okay? Because he gave those things to me, you know, not on purpose, but because he had them because of abuses and things that in his life. You know, he gave me a lot of other things, too, that were, blah. But you see what I'm saying? So the most important reason for you to begin to deal with these things, and even if your children are growing up, you know, is that you can begin to break the structure of this demonic hold that's been within your bloodline for all these years. And if you have children at home, hallelujah, you're getting started at a good time with your kids. You know, ours were already growing up. But you know what? I don't believe in failure in Jesus. I still believe we can go after things and we can begin to break the strength of the enemy in our lives. But that's the number one reason why, you know, again, let me go back and say something too, that our problems don't come from God, but he won't take them away from you. And the reason that he doesn't take them away from you is he tells you to remove them. Okay, God expects us to walk in this gospel. He has fully defeated. You know, we listened to that song, and I will guarantee you, every person, as we were singing that song, we're going, yeah, I'm going in, I'm taking it back, and da-da-da-da. You know, so you were in agreement about taking back. Okay, well, then come into agreement about the fact that if you want to take back parts of your life, you're going to need to remove some things. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, don't pray to me and ask me to remove the mountain. which your mountains are your problems, your issues. But he said, you speak to that mountain. Why did he tell you to speak to the mountain? Because he's given you authority over that mountain. And he wants you to recognize the mountains. He wants you to begin to operate in your authority and begin to remove those things and then begin to go help other people start removing some of the things in their lives. Hebrews 5:14 says, having your senses exercised means practical daily application of discernment. We need discernment. We need to practice the righteousness of God. In other words, coming into agreement with who we are in Christ. We need to have discernment in our lives and knowledge of sin is recognition, but we need to know what to do with it. When we discern an evil spirit operating in our lives, an example is if you do not have the knowledge that fear is a spirit, you might think or consider that it's only a psychological defect. Or it's just the way you are. Just like I said, I did not know that rejection was a spirit until I was delivered of it. You know, now I know. So now and that's the only way I deal with it. But before that, without the right proper discernment or knowledge, I treated that as just the way I was. So I never did anything with it. I just suffered through it. And with rejection comes fear, fear of man, fear of not being good enough, fear of being a failure. And here I'm called to be up in front of people. You see, the torment, and I've said this before, so some of you know, the torment I went every time I had to get up and minister because I never felt good enough as a minister, okay? Never felt good enough with my teachings, never felt like I could perform enough until we removed that spirit, and then it was like, wow, I became literally a different person, all right? So again, recognizing these things and then being willing to remove them will help you become that different person, that person you are in Christ Jesus, all right? We are in a war, and the enemy wants to steal from you your position in Christ and you operating in that. See, the biggest threat to the enemy is you realizing who you are and beginning to operate from that position. Because when you operate from that position, you're going to begin to enforce all that he did on Calvary. Starting number one with this person right here. You deal with your issues. You begin to forgive whether you want to or not. You begin to get rejection out of your life. You begin to get fear out of your life. You recognize these things. You take responsibility for them. You own them, so to speak. You take ownership long enough to remove them. Then you give them back, right? Okay, I'm just going to jump ahead on some of these here. All right. Okay, talking about identity again. A lot of times we identify with certain things. You could have like a spirit of bitterness operating against you or in you, but that doesn't mean that's who you are. You're not bitterness. If you have a disease, you're not that disease. If you're dealing with cancer, you're not cancer. There is a disease called cancer trying to take your life from you, but that's not who you are. See, who are you? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And is there cancer in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? There isn't, positionally. See, so when we begin to understand these things, it's like strength comes into you to say, no, that's not who I am, that I refuse to identify with this. You might deal with alcohol, but you know what? Your identity is not an alcoholic. That's not who you are. We have to learn to separate ourselves from the sin that wants to live within us. We don't like to think that we have sin in our lives as Christians, but when we allow fear or bitterness, for example, to operate or to rule in our lives, then we are affirming and agreeing with the gospel of fear or bitterness, all right? Or any other situation, all right? If we allow even a bad doctor's report, You know, in all the years that I've ministered with people, and both Evelyn and I would say this, that people who have said no to the disease, and medically, doctors will tell you this too, have a lot better chance of being healed than those who embrace it, embrace the report. You say, we don't want to embrace a negative report. We don't want to identify with that gospel that was just preached to us, either by the symptoms in your body or by maybe an x-ray or an ultrasound or whatever. Then when we allow guilt to rule our lives, we're also affirming the gospel of guilt to the destruction of forgiveness by God. So if you're carrying weights of guilt on you today, you're affirming that rather than the fact that God has forgiven you. Do you get that? So if you feel like you've just so messed up in your life, or you've made so many mistakes and you're always carrying the guilt. Now, you might acknowledge mentally that you can be forgiven, but do you have that knowledge in your heart that you start throwing the guilt off? You see, that's your responsibility. Just like I told you at the beginning, when I decided that one day, laying on my bed, you know, that I'm tired of being sick, God, and I've asked you and asked you to heal me. I'm just going to get up. And I'm going to be healed. That's what God was waiting on. You know, he'd already healed me 2,000 years ago. All right? Well, it's the same way here. If you are still carrying the guilt, take it off. Just like you're taking off a jacket or a coat. Remove it from your life. If you're still walking with an identity of being a victim, remove it. Because you're identifying with a spiritual force that God has delivered you from. And until you start deciding to do that, I guarantee you, it's like wallowing in the mud. It's spinning your wheels. You just keep going round and round and round and round and round. And you wonder, God, why aren't you doing anything? Why can't I get out of this? And God's saying, well, just make the decision to get out of it. Make the decision to quit believing the gospel of defeat, guilt, sickness, disease, bitterness, victimization, and start receiving what I have for you. And how do you receive it? You have to come into agreement with it, don't you? And when we are in agreement with it, what's coming out of our mouth? What we believe, isn't it? See, so a lot of times we just need to change what we've done. And I don't care where you're at in your life. I don't care how badly you've messed it up. Jesus has forgiven you. So quit staying down under the guilt of it. If you would understand that the enemy endeavors from the time you are born to set you up, and he already has your generations, your generations all planned, the back behind that. He sees already the plan that's been done and enforced there. So he understands who raised you, so he can see, you know what, all this has been done. They're going to be easy to take there. So he begins to employ tactics and schemes, and to move you into certain arenas, to move you even into later on certain sins that you might even add some new iniquities to your bloodline. But the bottom line of this then is you're going to make a decision who's going to be victorious in your life, the stinking devil or God, because Jesus set you free from it. So you decide, do I have to carry this guilt? No, it was bore on the cross. Do I have to carry bitterness? No, I can choose to forgive. Do I have to stay a victim because I was sexually molested as a child? No. I can move forward and I can get all that defilement off me because Jesus bore that on the cross for me. If my wife or my husband abandoned me and they won't take me back, or I did all this bad stuff and I deserve it, well, Jesus paid for that on the cross too. All right? And you go to the Lord and you say, God, give me my plan. What should I do with this? And he'll be right there either showing you how to bring restoration, you know, whatever you need to do. Okay, but take the mantle of guilt, rejection, bitterness, whatever it is, get it off, because you are hindering God from working in your life. You see, and that's what deliverance is all about. Taking authority over those things, saying, you know, I am done with this. I'm tired of it. Get out in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. You know, when we do corporate deliverance here, all you got to do is come in agreement with it. And those demons have to go. They don't have a right to stay if you take back your land, because this is your land. It don't belong to him. All right? So what we need to do is quit allowing these things and affirming these things and agreeing with these things and actually come into agreement with what God says, because what the purpose of these things are is to bring about the destruction of God's forgiveness, God's righteousness in your life. Okay? And it's already yours. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. How many of you believe the Bible? That's what it says. Read it. It's yours. It's yours. You see, and when you begin to embrace that, you can throw off all this other stuff. So it's important that we realize that we're either going to believe one of these gospels or the other. Whatever gospel he's knocking on your door with, are you going to put your faith in that, or are you going to put your faith in the Word of God? The law of the kingdom of God that we are establishing, we are either establishing the law of the kingdom of God, or we are establishing the laws of Satan's kingdom, because we cannot serve two masters. This has to be understood in regard to certain diseases or bondages before that. Many times we are healed or get free. And again, I don't want you to ever think that I'm saying God is holding back healing from you, but you're probably blocking it yourself. All right? So when you begin to recognize that this healing does belong to me, then that ought to make you angry enough at what setup has been there that you will willingly begin to remove these things so that you can just begin to receive whatever it is. It's like trying to be healed of arthritis and then have unforgiveness towards someone, or lupus and have self-hatred, or addictions and hold on to bitterness and self-rejection, or whatever. We must realize that we are either establishing the laws of the kingdom of God, or we are establishing the laws of the kingdom of darkness in our lives, okay? So whatever you're giving place to, we decide. And remember, this is costly. It's going to cost you to take a good look at yourself. It might cost you letting go of some hurt or resentment that you're holding on to. We have people come to us all the time that want deliverance for certain areas of their life, but then when the Holy Spirit shows us other areas, they'll go, no, I didn't ask you to pray for that. Well, then I think you're going to probably end up keeping a whole lot more than you think. See, we have to be willing, you see, to let go. We prayed for a woman one time that had cocaine addictions, alcohol addictions, and nicotine addictions. She came because her whole life was a mess. She'd lost her family. I mean, she lost everything. So she comes for help. She wants deliverance from the alcohol. She wants deliverance from the cocaine. But she says, don't touch my cigarettes. And see, I had been praying for her. I was praying for her for deliverance. And it was like nothing was moving. And it's like, okay, God. And we can tell if things are moving or not. And it was like, God, why isn't anything moving? So we addressed the nicotine. And she goes, no, don't even touch them. I want that. Well, what were we trying to get rid of? An addictive spirit. You see, so, well, I'm going to get rid of 2/3 of this thing, but the other third I'm going to keep. You can't entertain demons. You cannot feed them. You can't nurse them. Okay, so it takes looking at yourself and letting go of some hurt or resentment maybe you're holding on to. And the reason I'm talking about hurts or resentment, because we're dealing with bitterness. There was a young woman one time that came up. Evelyn and I were ministering up in Wisconsin, and she came to us in a wheelchair. And we prayed for her to be healed and to get out of that wheelchair. And when she left, she just wheeled away in her wheelchair. She didn't get up off out of the wheelchair at all. And a year later, we went back to that same place, and the girl walks in and walks up to us, and she goes, do you guys remember who I am? And this is her story. It was an amazing story. She had been violated, I believe sexually, by her parents. And she went and she literally laid on the graves of her parents. Now, you don't got to go lay on anybody's grave. I don't believe in that. I don't think that's a good thing for you to do. But this is what she did. I'm telling you her story. Yeah. Anyway, that's another teaching. But anyway, this is what she did. But she went to their parents' graves and she literally forgave them for what they did to her and was able to get up and walk. You see how that was holding her? Yeah, that is awesome, isn't it? See, these things are much more than we think they are. See, and God wants us, was God holding back healing from her? No, he was not. He had it. And see, as she began to resolve that, and we hear that all the time. We've had people healed of that when they have finally let go of what they've held on to all those years of the hurts and the woundedness. Okay, because victimization of any sort, betrayal of any sort, abandonment, whatever, it will add to you the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the anger, the resentment, the hatred, but it'll also add the actual thing of what was done to you will bring in pain, will bring in woundedness, will bring in insecurity, will bring in rejection because you were not loved and honored maybe as a person. See, so you see all these different nests that come in, but you still have to get those things out because God heals the brokenhearted. He removes our wounds. So Jesus has a remedy for every single one of these areas if we're willing to face them, deal with them, and get rid of them. Okay? But the ball's in your park. Okay? You have to choose to have had enough of what's gone on in your life. You have to make a decision. This is not who I am, and this is not what I'm going to walk in, and it's not what I'm going to raise my children in either. I'm going to be different. You know, when I, as a young Christian, caught myself one day disciplining my oldest son in the same way my father disciplined me as a child, I immediately stopped, got on my knees and said, God, don't ever let me do that again. Because that's what I did. I saw myself, and we walk in patterns, but it was like the buck stops here, devil. I'm not going to do this. I am going to be a different kind of a parent. You see, it's up to us to be different people. It's up to us to walk in the righteousness of God, to walk in that freedom, you know, and that is a process, but you can get there, and you'll get there as you begin to, like what I said at the very beginning, Hebrews, I think it's 12:1, as we run this race before us, let us lay aside all these weights and all these sins that so readily beset us. What are the sins and weights that readily beset us? There are all these things that we've ended up dealing with, and we embrace them. We embrace the wounds. We embrace depression. It's like we embrace a right to hold on to these things. And they weigh you down. And if they weigh you down, let's go to that scripture. You can't run that race like you should. And I'm going to show you a scripture on sin, too, that will show you literally that sin is a demon spirit. I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. But go to Hebrews chapter 10. It says in verse 1, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off, throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and every sin which so readily and cleverly clings to and entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady the race that's set before us. So it tells you here, and I've never noticed this before until right now, but it talks about sin has an ability, and this is why you can look at it as a spiritual force. Sometimes we command a spirit of sin, literally. Like I would say, okay, fear, I command fear to come out of somebody. We might just say, sin, you come out in the name of Jesus. Because it is a spiritual force. But here it says that this sin can readily, deftly, and this is amplified, and cleverly cling to you and entangle. So it's apparently, it's clever also, isn't it? Sin is clever. It knows how to set us up. Do you know, if you embrace a sin that was done to you, it becomes your sin. And it has cleverly set you up so it can entangle you. Let me go into this one with sexual abuse. I had a young girl one time who had been sexually abused as a child. And then when she got into her teen years, she began to become very promiscuous. And one day, because we were dealing with all sorts of issues with her in the school where I was at, I took her aside and I began to talk to her. And I said to her, honey, I said, what was wrong to you was your father's sin. but now it's yours. And see, she had to own that sin and quit using him as the excuse, well, this is why I am because this is what my dad did to me. And see, when she took a responsibility for that sin, she got free of it. She walked out of that. But see, that's where this cleverly will watch to try to set you up so it can get you running in that pattern. And you might not be a predator. You might not be a pedophile. You might not be a child molester. You might be the victim of one of them. So now you've got the sin. And you might not do that, but you're bearing all of the defilement, the rejection, the guilt, the shame. You see, all the baggage that comes with that. So you work, this thing here cleverly set you up. But until you face the fact it was wrong, forgive the predator, the person, the one who violated you. See, God tells you to forgive. So what can you do? Let it go. Get it off of you. If you hold to unforgiveness, you're always going to hold this. But when you forgive, you let it go. And then it's there. And you can begin to start working out the hurt, the pain, the deficit, the rejection, the betrayal, the dishonor. You see? So just like the enemy so cleverly has set people up, God has just as cleverly set you up to be free. He's taking care of all of it so you don't have to have the kingdom of darkness established in your life at all anymore. But again, that comes back to your choice. The entire kingdom of sin wants your participation. I'm going to quickly just get done here. Sin is a spirit, and it's a living, it's like a being, like a demonic being. It establishes its presence in the earth through you. It wants the body to be the body of Christ to be a leavened body. And it wants darkness established in the earth instead of light. So that is one of the reasons. This is another reason why it is vitally important for the body of Christ to get delivered. Because of what I just read. Sin, and I'm going to give you the scripture. We're going to look at the scriptures in a minute here. It establishes its presence in the earth through you. Okay, and what is sin? Fear, bitterness, guilt, woundedness, condemnation, victimization, because those are sins. They may have been done to you, but you still embrace them and you've got them and you've got to get them off. You know, there's a whole lot of injustices. The Bible says we should cry out for justice. But it wants the body of Christ to be leavened. Well, how are we leavened? If I come in here, well, an example is just myself. When I would get up to teach and I was trying to teach through rejection, that's leaven, isn't it? Because everything that had came out of my mouth came out of my own belief system that what I was saying wasn't worth a whole lot, probably wasn't that good. I would compare myself to other people. I'd always walk away. You see, I allowed the enemy to leaven the giftings that were in me. See, and then when I got free of that, see, and I didn't know that was a spirit. But when the Lord brought that to me, then that was my responsibility to be willing to get free. So that the giftings of God within me, just like I told you about this big pipe, the gifting could flow through so that we could, so that all that God wants to get out to people can be gotten out to people. Okay, with nothing else in there. Yeah, isn't that awesome? That's why we do what we do. That's why you need to be getting free. That's why this place needs to be totally, this place should be as full on Saturday as it is on Sunday. Really? You're going to get more out of the Word of God when you come on Sunday if you get yourself free. Get all this out of your pipe. Genesis, Romans 7, 17. And this is Amplified Version. You can look it up. This is, again, talking about sin being a spiritual being, a spiritual force. Paul says, it is no longer I that does the deed, but it is sin which is at home in me and has possession of me. See, I don't want sin at home in me. You know, I don't want lying. I don't want fear. I don't want intimidation. I don't want guilt. I don't want bitterness. I don't want rejection. I don't want unforgiveness at home in me. Because if it's at home in me, I guarantee it's going to do a destructive work in me. And you know what? It is not only going to do a destructive work in relationships, in your social activities, it's also working on the inside of you to destroy this physical body. You see, and I'll tell you what, one of the reasons we age like we do is because we've got all this stress, all this unforgiveness, all this bitterness, all this anger. We deal with autoimmune diseases because we're not lining ourselves up with the Word of God. It isn't all about just what you eat. Okay? Physical food. So he's saying sin has had a home in him. And then in Genesis 4:7, this is one I really like. He says, God said to Cain, sin crouches at your door and it has a desire for you. So two things that this spiritual force of sin was able to do, it was able to physically crouch waiting for him to mess up, and it had a desire for Cain. But God told him, you master it. You get a hold of this and take responsibility for it and get it out of your life. You break its authority. See, I read to you at the very beginning, Colossians 2:15, God took principalities. In fact, I want to read that because you know what? Every sin, too, this is a good one here. If you feel guilt, you know, I don't care if you feel you did anything bad. Receive what God says about you. That's your choice. You can either stay under the condemnation, the guilt, unforgiveness towards yourself, or you can decide to believe what God says about you. And this is what he said in Colossians 2:15. He says he's canceled, starting with verse 14, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its all of its legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against you. He wiped them out. He canceled them. He blotted them out by his blood. So that's why if I had a clean sheet of paper, I could show you what I normally do. But I could do this way. When I stand before the Lord, this is what my life will look like to him. Nothing. I didn't do anything wrong. Perfect. Righteous. That's who I am. Not because I'm really anything, but that blood blotted out and removed every transgression. Isn't that good news? So if you think you're going to miss heaven, you aren't going to miss heaven. But then he disarmed, verse 15, every principality and power that was raged against you. He disarmed every bit of guilt, fear, anger, bitterness, rejection, sexual immorality. He disarmed anything that you're dealing with. And then he made a public display of it and a bold display of it, triumphing over it on the cross. So I don't care whether the devil's convinced you you are bad or not. That is a lie. And you need to come out of agreement with that lie. That is not who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we need to recognize, then we take responsibility for these things. In other words, you need to realize that however this came into your life, whether it was your doing or someone else's doing through a violation of you or a hurt or a wound, that you're not going to continue to walk in it. That's your responsibility as a believer. And then you repent. Okay. And what do you repent of? Well, if you did the violation, yes, you should repent. But if you had it done to you, it's still a sin that's standing in your realm, in your life, isn't it? So you can repent that, Father, I ask you to forgive me that even though I was not a willing victim, I was still the victim. I was still the recipient of this. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for that. I ask you to forgive this sin. Why? Because then you got the blood on it and it blots it out. You see? Take responsibility so that you don't have to own that. Because if you're walking around with it, you're owning it. You're owning the guilt. You're owning the pain, you know, the depression. So you repent, you renounce it. The word renounce means to come out of agreement with it, to disown it, to no longer embrace it. And then after you renounce it, you remove it. How do you remove it? Well, if you've repented and renounced it, you've broke its legal rights. And then you cast it out. That it's, you know, you can do self-deliverance. You know, sometimes it's easier if you come up and get some prayer, because some people really deal with some really strong things, and we work to try to help you with those. But eventually, you can start casting some of this stuff out of yourself, because the more of the strongholds of the enemy that are broken off of your life, then you become stronger, and you rise up, and you can literally begin to get this stuff out of your life. All right? We're going to actually be coming out with a manual eventually here that you're going to be able to get, so you can start working on some of these things, because that's the only way the body of Christ is going to get free, and we have got to get free. You know, we have got to become this army, and we've got to quit being weighed down with the weights of all this stuff that we accumulate, so we can start running that race that's set before us. Okay, and so I'm going to quit. I already went almost 10 minutes over. Resist it. That means simply this, that you tell it no when it comes knocking at your door, all right? So I'm going to dismiss you here in a moment, but this is what I'm going to tell you. We're going to have our prayer teams up on, well, I guess the two sides here, okay? So you're going to have to bear with us. Well, you know, I think we need a bigger place, huh? But it's coming. It's coming. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, this church is a haven. This church is a place that sets captives free. This church is a place that helps people. And I'll tell you what, I'd have given anything for this kind of a church when I was a new believer. You know, we didn't have any of this. But irregardless, what I'm going to do is I will probably finish up next week in getting into more on the bitterness, which will help you get a better understanding. The strong man of bitterness has underlying spirits, and the underlying spirits are the spirits of resentment and unforgiveness and anger. And I'll go into all the underlying spirits of bitterness. And then we're going to pray like a corporate prayer over everybody. So as you go through this, even though between now and next week, I want you to recognize and ask the Lord to show you if there's any place in your life where you've been holding and harboring unforgiveness or have in the past and never really dealt with the spiritual force that maybe you allowed in there. You know, and I'm not saying you have a demon of like unforgiveness or bitterness, but if you harbored it and fed it, you probably do. You know, the good thing is this. If you come willing, okay, Lord, if I have it, I want it out. I just want to be clean. And you're willing to repent and renounce it. And if it's there and we cast it out, it'll go. If it's not there, no big deal. You see? It's not. So, you know, you're not going to roll around the floor and foam at the mouth and get weird and crazy, because we don't do that here. You know why we don't have to do that? Because the devil's defeated. Amen. Amen. He is defeated. You know? Jesus already broke his power. Okay? So I'm going to pray over you, dismiss you. If you want prayer, the prayer team is going to be up here. And then we'll see you next week. And whatever, wherever I get, that'll depend upon whether I do corporate deliverance. You should come just experience it. All right? We are going to, at the very end, do a huge corporate deliverance like we did the last time. And this one's going to be a little bit smaller, but because we're just going to deal with this here stuff. But we're going to deal with it because I don't want you to wait till the end to deal with some of these things. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I ask, God, that you bless your people. I pray right now that you would give them revelation, Lord, of this teaching today. Father, I ask, God, that you'd open up the eyes of their understanding, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we just break the authority of every strong man in their life in the name of Jesus. And, Father, I thank you that you are raising up a group of believers, God, a body of believers that will know who they are, God, that they are truly the glorious church, that they are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Father. So, Father, I ask, God, that restoration be specifically released into every area of every person's life, Father, whether it's their family, finances, health, God. Father, I pray that you would Help them to know, God, that this is their right and that they will come into agreement, God, that all that you've made provision for belongs to us, Lord. And I pray that they'll receive it, God. I pray that this year will be a great, mighty year of restoration, God, for each and every person here, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.